One minute the world was just as we knew it. Everything was as we would expect it to be. And the next minute, it's changed. Chaos. The Gospels record a similar event. Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him without warning. A furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Matthew simply records, without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake. It just seemed to come out of nowhere. He wasn't exaggerating or overstating the case. The waves apparently swept over the boat. That was really happening. It was really dangerous. It wasn't just them being excitable. Amongst those disciples would have been experienced fishermen, men who had been out on Lake Galilee often, men who had probably experienced storms there. They would have known how quickly those storms could blow up. And yet this one had them frightened. And so they turned to Jesus, and Jesus is sleeping. And so they wake him. "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Mark in his gospel goes even further and says, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Was Jesus indifferent to what was going on? Was he indifferent to their predicament, their fear? One of those disciples in that boat was Peter. Peter was later to write to the early church and encourage them to cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Not indifferent to what we go through. Jesus is not indifferent to the suffering of this world. If you don't believe that, look at the cross, where Jesus takes upon himself the sin of this broken world and defeats it. Jesus rebukes the disciples. Rebukes the disciples for allowing that fear to so overwhelm them that they lose sight of who he is. It's natural to be afraid in a boat in a storm. Waves breaking over the side of it. Of course you'd be afraid. But Jesus rebukes them because their fear has overwhelmed them. And then he rebukes those winds and waves, and it was completely calm. And suddenly the disciples forget about the storm. Suddenly they forget about the winds and the waves, and they now focus on Jesus, whom even the wind and the waves obey. This was a very real storm, a very dangerous storm. It had the disciples absolutely terrified, but the significance of that storm pales in comparison to the significance of who Jesus is and what Jesus has just done. Fear of any sort can cause us to lose sight of Jesus and who he is, can cause us to forget that this is the Jesus who is the very Son of God, the Jesus who was there in the beginning when order was brought out of chaos, the Jesus who calms winds and waves. The disciples aren't left talking about the terrible storm. They're left talking about Jesus and who he is. What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Over these weeks of Lent, many people in Ballywillan are following the Catching the Wave series of Bible readings and prayers. It's been so encouraging to have so many people in the congregation involved in this, reading together, praying for friends to come to faith, praying for the big issues in our lives, praying for revival in this nation. It's been so good, so encouraging to have so many people involved in that. But time and again, people say to me, "Stephen, this is amazing. I read this material and you would think it had been written yesterday." I don't know when it was produced. Produced months ago, long time ago, long before this crisis ever came upon us. And yet it is so relevant. Let me read for you one passage from that Catching the Wave booklet this week. When we begin to understand what God is like as he is revealed in Jesus, his nature, his person, his compassion, his word, his love, his eternal, all-encompassing, sovereign power, then we realize we can trust him. It's not the scale of the problem that we should think about, but the power of God to deal with it. It's not the size of the mountains that should impress us, but the nature of the one who moves mountains. He has no rival. I am so grateful to whoever wrote these words, weeks, months, maybe even years ago. And I'm so grateful to God that he has put them in our hearts this week so that we lift our eyes to the God who has no rivals, the God who can move mountains. We should not trivialize this current crisis. It's sad to see people blatantly ignoring clear advice. We need to follow advice. We need to be careful. We need to keep our distance, difficult though that is, especially on this day when we just love to give our moms a hug. We keep our distance. It's difficult, but follow the advice. And although we don't trivialize it, we've been blessed with a sense of humor. The number of silly photographs, silly videos that have come out this week, which have just made people laugh. And we need to laugh. That's part of how we cope. Let us not trivialize where we find ourselves. It is as real and dangerous as any storm on a lake. Where is God? Right with us. Just as he was in that boat, right with us. In hospitals that are bursting at the seams. Along with staff who are stressed out already and are stressed even about the thought of what might come down the line. He's with those who already felt isolated and distant and alone. And that now increases. He's with those scientists who are racing to produce a vaccine. God is present with that nurse who just breaks down because at the end of her shift there's no food left for her family in the supermarket. Jesus in the boat during the storm. Jesus on the cross for our sin. God with us and God for us. The God who has no rivals. In these days, let us remember that. You've often heard the saying, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." And sometimes we've stopped using it because it's become corny and cliched. It may be corny and cliched, but it is so true. It is so true. We don't know what the future will hold. But we do know the God who holds that future. Some of my favorite Bible verses are from the end of Romans chapter 8. Just reminding us about this love of God that will never let us go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness, danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. And that includes COVID-19. Nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Jesus who was with his disciples in the boat. The Jesus who is here with you now, wherever you are, whatever your situation. During this last week, the words of a chorus that I learned a long, long time ago as a child in Sunday school, those words just keep coming back to me. Sometimes we sing them. We should sing them more often. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. May God give us the grace to live for him in these days, whatever that means, wherever we are. May we know the very presence of God with us. May we continually turn our eyes upon Jesus and in him find our hope, our peace, our strength. We pray together. Eternal God, we thank you that you are the God who is sovereign. You are the God who is in control. You are the God who is never far from his people. And so, Lord, we lift to you those around us who need to know these truths in these difficult days. We pray, Lord, for those who suffer from the effects of this virus, those in hospital, in their own homes. We pray, Lord, for our health service workers, for all who are involved in providing care and trying to keep hospitals safe places. Lord, thank you for them. Protect them, we pray, in every way. Lord, for our political leaders who seek to give guidance and leadership, give to them the wisdom which they need in these days. For those who give them scientific and medical advice, Lord, you work in and through them, we pray. Father, for people who have in these days lost their livelihoods and their jobs, for people who were already on their own and distanced and isolated, Lord, may all those whom we have remembered before you know the truth that you will never leave them or forsake them. May they experience the fact that you are their strength and their refuge, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Lord, help us, we pray, to find ways to not only stay connected to each other, but to encourage each other, to help each other, to support each other, to pray with and for each other, that in these days we may truly be the body of Christ that you have called us to be. Lord, in a moment of silence, we bring to you our own prayers for others. Heavenly Father, on these days and this day, we give you thanks for mums, for the love and care which has been poured into our lives, which is still being poured into our lives from our mums. And though, Lord, this day we may not be able to give them that hug that we would love to, give us thankful hearts and help us to express that thankfulness and that love. Lord, these and all of our prayers we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.